Hey gang, this episode is brought to you by Means TV, the world's first anti-capitalist streaming service. Stick around after the episode to learn a bit more about Means and to snag a nice little discount as a thank you for supporting my channel. Okay, got some documents I want to show you. This is the 1936 Flood Control Act. This is a Reagan executive order. This is a Clinton one. All of this, this is pretty much the backbone of the last 90 years of climate change in action. And it's not much to look at, I'll admit. But these few documents are a big reason our government hasn't done much to limit climate change. But I should back up for a second and start with a question. How much is the future worth to you?
Today, Milton became the strongest storm anywhere on the planet.
North Carolina is cleaning up from the worst flooding ever on record for the state.
This is an unprecedented storm.
Earlier this year, the U.S. got hit with two back-to-back hurricanes, Helene in North Carolina and Milton in Florida. Hundreds of people have died, entire towns have been flattened, and frankly, a lot of the footage is too horrifying to show here. Because of climate change and the fact that that means things like warmer oceans, we know that these sorts of deadly hurricanes are only going to get more intense every year. And we're going to get more wildfires, more heat waves, more floods, and more droughts. And unfortunately, this is the context in which Democrats have stopped talking about climate change almost entirely. Government-sanctioned oil and gas production levels keep hitting new highs, and according to a new study published in Science, about 96% of climate change policies are practically useless at reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And I feel like we all know why. We know that fossil fuel companies lied for decades and are out there lobbying around the clock to slow down progress on climate change policy. But I want to talk about a more invisible problem keeping us in this death spiral. Something so routine, it's not going to be a flashy government corruption case or an oil company reporting yet another year of record profits. I want to talk about a formula built into the boring, everyday operations of everyone from governments to private businesses that, for nearly a century now, has quietly justified millions of people's deaths because their lives were calculated to be practically worthless. This is a video about discounting functions. Maybe this will make more sense if we talk about asbestos for a second.
They called it asbestos.
And science also created asbestos cement roofing.
Sound insulating product known as asbestos.
The scientists would turn to asbestos, for this is a remarkable mineral.
Asbestos is a mineral that, for decades in the US, was mostly used for things like fireproofing buildings. It was effective, pretty cheap, and as it turns out, a massive carcinogen. But for years, most Americans didn't know that. Asbestos went up everywhere, from single-family homes to giant skyscrapers, slowly wearing down over time and causing hundreds of thousands of deadly cases of mesothelioma, asbestosis, and lung cancer. Nowadays, we tend to think of asbestos as an unlucky mistake previous generations made, an accident that we have to deal with, but that no one could have seen coming. But the truth is that since at least the 1930s, the asbestos industry did know how dangerous their product was and willingly hid this from the public. They settled cases of asbestos workers getting sick out of court to keep things quiet and suppress the science that linked asbestos exposure to lung disease. Fast forward a little bit to the 1970s, and all this information comes out.
In this instance, someone apparently forgot to follow the normal procedure.
Class action lawsuits start raining down on asbestos companies, and the EPA starts to actively ban its use in things like insulation. And this raises an important regulatory question. Should this highly toxic substance that we know is behind hundreds of thousands of deaths, that is in the walls of homes, schools, and offices, be completely banned and regulated away? A question like that is a pretty routine thing for regulators to figure out. And since around the 1930s, but especially since Reagan, the correct way to answer these questions was to use what are called cost-benefit analyses. And the Reagan admin's cost-benefit analysis for asbestos found mathematical proof that it was better not to ban asbestos right away. So they didn't. And thousands more people died a preventable death. But the way they got to that conclusion is insane. Some guy working for Reagan calculated that a human life was worth about $1 million to save from the dangers of asbestos. However, because an asbestos-caused cancer takes around 30 or 40 years to show up, this advisor, Robert P. Bedell, calculated the value of saving that human life there and then as only being worth around $22,000. And when you plug that number into the EPA's cost-benefit calculations, instead of $1 million per human life, you find out that the cost of banning asbestos today far outweigh the potential benefits, which, because it takes so long to mature, take place way in the future. Again, the benefit in question was stopping a horrific death by cancer. So for years and years, the government just didn't do much. Asbestos was excruciatingly slowly banned, and millions of people kept getting sick. You'd think we'd have learned our lesson by now, but that's no different than how the government is treating climate change today. Like the asbestos people, the fossil fuel industry knew for years that they were killing us. They kept it hidden, we found out, and now that we know with certainty how screwed we could be if we do nothing, or even just not enough, the government is dragging its feet and running calculations that justify not doing much because, it's not worth it. And if you can stomach, like, 30 seconds of math real quick, I can explain how this actually works in practice. I just do have to get this boring part out of the way. So, the way the Reagan admin calculated the value of a human life down from $1 million to just $22,000 was using what's called a discounting function. Looks something like this. You have your benefits and your costs at the top, and what we care about is that letter R at the bottom. That is the discount rate, R for rate. And the bigger that number is, the less your life is worth in the future. For example, with a 1.4% discount rate, after 36.5 years, future people are worth just 3/5 of a person's worth today. With a 3% rate, a future person just 17 years from now is worth 3/5 of a person today. Or, to put it a different way, if something is worth $100 in 100 years, not accounting for inflation or anything, it's only worth about 80 cents today if you use a 5% discount rate. You get it. The higher the number, the less you're worth after a fixed amount of time, or less time it takes for you to become basically worthless to a regulator today. Those numbers, by the way, are from a legal case filed last year by children suing the EPA.
The group claims the EPA is discriminating against American children by intentionally allowing the release of dangerous levels of greenhouse gases, which experts say is a major contributor to climate change.
The EPA, as you probably know, has the responsibility to look at the impact of regulations and calculate the potential costs and benefits, specifically for environmental stuff, before they're enforced. Most of the time, it uses a discount rate of between 3 and 7%, meaning that a lot of projects that are absolutely necessary for curbing the worst effects of climate change are considered not worth the cost because the value assigned to the benefits, i.e. millions of people not dying from climate change, has been discounted. Those deaths are in the future. The benefits of saving those lives are in the future. And therefore, because the costs to act on it are immediate, it's often not worth it to do anything ambitious. In other words, these kids sued the EPA because their adult lives are routinely calculated to be worth less than those of an adult living today. It's a very gross thing to say, much less to make the default way the government judges whether something is worth it or not. And the worst part is that the discount rate is a totally arbitrary number. There is no objective reason for it to be 3% or 7%. It can be positive, which is what we have now and means the future and future lives matter less, negative, meaning the future matters more, or just zero, which would mean treating a future person, maybe even just you in a couple of years, as equal to who you are today. But earlier this year, the Biden-Harris admin recommitted to the idea that the future shouldn't be valued as highly as the present by setting the default discount rate at 2% for most government agencies. That is better than the old default of 3%, but because it's still a positive number, it still calculates future lives as worth less than lives today. It still justifies forgetting about meaningful climate change policies. And at this point, you might be wondering what's going on. It seems so obvious that this general approach to policy is screwing us in the long run, so why hasn't the discount rate just been brought down to zero? This next part of the video is what I'm going to call the really messed up part. To decide what discount rate to apply to policy decisions, governments use market data. In other words, when evaluating whether or not to do something, the government bases that decision on what an investor would do. using data from what investors do right now. Not to mention that this method literally comes from corporate finance textbooks. Before enacting a regulation, the government basically asks whether it would hypothetically be more worthwhile to just invest that money. And the problem with that logic is that I can't wait around to find out if that's right. For me, for my loved ones, and for you to live another day and avoid the deadly consequences of climate change, I don't need government policy to have the best ROI. I just need it to happen. But because there's a built-in bias against the future with positive discount rates, this way of doing things not only skews the ROI, it lets governments put off the decision to act indefinitely and have what looks like an objective, mathematical justification every time. And to make matters worse, they just keep adding more things to the list of what we can apply cost-benefit analysis on, including things related to climate change. Discounting assumes we can easily reduce the complexity of life and the uncertainty of the future into a single number. It pretends like we can just get rid of politics with math, without ever acknowledging the ideological biases of using this discounting method. Most importantly, the idea that the future should always be treated as though it's worth less. But because nobody can argue with a number, because a number erases all the little decisions you need to make to produce it, government agencies can always claim they're just following the science when they estimate that a policy is just too expensive for what it's worth. And it gets worse. I know I warned you this part of the video was bleak, but somehow there's still more to go. Because we haven't talked about how private businesses take advantage of this yet. In 2008, oil was found here, 6 miles off the coast of Italy. The oil field was bought by a company called Rockhopper Exploration for about £30 million, and they started to prepare for drilling. That is, until protests against it caught the attention of the government and a national ban was instituted against new drilling within 12 miles of the coast. This didn't make Rockhopper too happy, so they sued the Italian government. Now, what makes this interesting is how much this British company sued the Italian government for. Instead of suing for the money they had put into the project, $30 million, Rockhopper sued for the amount of money they expected to make. And they won. The court used a discounting cash flow analysis and made the Italian government pay Rockhopper 184 million euros. What this means is that fossil fuel companies are just allowed to plan according to a future where they get to keep polluting as much as they want. And if anything gets in the way of that future, for example, governments doing something to protect us from certain catastrophe, they still get paid. No matter what happens, whether we curb pollution or not, they come out on top. And this acts as a huge disincentive for governments trying to get us on the right track. It means that government calculations may now need to include what investors think they deserve in the cost column, regardless of what actually matters most for the survival of society as a whole. Hurting a company's profits, even those that don't exist yet, even those that come directly from destroying the environment, is apparently just too much. Keep in mind, Rockhopper didn't even have anything to take down or anybody to lay off. It was still too early for that. The only thing they had was shareholder expectations. None of this, by the way, is to say that discounting is inherently bad. If discounting had, for example, been used to value the damages this drilling project would cause the local population, maybe it would have made it unprofitable for Rockhopper. If the company had been forced to pay the 184 million euros they clearly value the oil field at instead of the 30 million they did pay, maybe they would have reconsidered. The problem with the current use of discounting, though, is that 1. It replaces a political debate about who gets what when with a formula that claims to produce the absolute truth. A truth that reinforces whatever the power dynamics of the present are and sets them in stone for the future. 2. It makes it seem like the future is something we need to invest in, and therefore need to sacrifice for. That if we can save the money now, it'll be worth more to us later. But that's not true. We can and should act on climate change right now because it sucks right now. Because pulling more fossil fuels out of the earth means destroying local environments, tons of pollution, tons of poorly paid people working brutal jobs. All that matters for our politics is whether or not we can do something about it. And we're lucky in that we actually can. The solutions are available to us. But if we start thinking like investors, we start putting the power and profits of capitalists above those real concerns and our real ability to do anything. There's no reason to wait. In fact, We can't afford it. As I mentioned at the beginning of the video, you can now find Second Thought on Means TV, the home for worker-owned entertainment. I've been working with the team to bring on a bunch more creators, so stay tuned for some exciting new additions to the roster. If you're not already familiar with Means, it's a worker-owned cooperative and explicitly anti-capitalist streaming service. You can find everything from my videos, to original series like Means Morning News, to feature-length documentaries like Abby Martin's Gaza Fights for Freedom, with more amazing content being added every day. As you all know, socialist creators have to walk a fine line here on YouTube. We're always having to contend with age restriction, demonetization, and outright suppression, which for some reason, right-wing outlets never have to deal with. But now with Means TV, we're able to say things the way they are. No pulling punches, no beating around the bush to trick the all-seeing eye of the algorithm. Means TV gives us the freedom to make the content we really want to make and say the things we really want to say. There's even a community forum where creators can engage with each other and their fans right on the platform. And the best part is, Means TV is ideologically dedicated to supporting principled socialist content. As a little thank you for watching my channel, if you sign up with my link, you can get your first month 20% off. Or for an even better deal, you can opt for the annual plan and get 20% off the whole year. A full year of Means TV will run you just 88 bucks, which is like the cost of a single DoorDash meal these days. Every person who signs up using my link is directly contributing to the financial stability of my channel and the entire cooperative media project. None of this would be possible without the generosity of viewers like you. Both Second Thought and Means TV are entirely grassroots funded, and they always will be. So if you'd like to help support my work, consider signing up for Means TV using my link. It really does help me and dozens of principled socialist creators all across the platform. If you enjoyed this video, consider dropping a like. If you hated it, a thumbs down. You can check out my other content by following the links on your screen. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you next time.